Go. Okay, I don't know what.
You got that, you goddamn son of a bitch?
You're bad.
Yeah, and?
What kind of dog is that?
Gentlemen, this is Democracy Manifest.
Stop pushing your shit.
We call these during the break.
I want to marry a guy and a babe.
Fuck them.
Coming to you live from Command Center Alpha 1, it's China, the R Big Dumb Mouse Show. Now here's your host, Midnight Mike.
You got that, you goddamn son of a bitch?
Hey, welcome back to another podcast adventure. My name is Midnight Mike, Mike Point 3, a.k.a. Patrick London, the Young Jizzer. The Night Ripper, all that kind of stuff. We're ripping it up. Starting up the podcast right here. I'm joined on this amazing podcast adventure by Clown Baby and Joe. There they are over there. Hey.
What the hell is this?
What the hell is this?
Indeed.
We just have a fantastic, an amazing show for everyone out there in the in podcast land. Are we in podcast land, or are the people listening in podcast land? I don't know how that works.
It's a good question.
We'll have to put a poll, a survey up on the website. Are you in podcast land, or am I in podcast land? I don't know. It's all confusing to me, and quite frankly, I'm scared. I don't know what's going on.
Excuse me.
Please.
Don't be scared.
We've experienced a lot of news in the past week since we've last talked to you. We did a Saturday or a Sunday show? We did a Saturday show over there on YouTube, and I've gotten a few comments, people wanting to have access to that show in an audio-only format.
Yes.
And I think I will do that. I will make a new RSS feed. I'm not going to pollute the OBDM RSS feed that's currently in iTunes. I'll go ahead and make a new RSS feed just for the Saturday show for people who want that. And I don't know. What do you think about that, guys? Should I have a whole different RSS feed for the Saturday show?
Nope. Watch, it'll blow up and it'll be like 10,000 subscribers in the first week.
Yeah, it'll be more popular than the regular show. Yeah.
Yay! Maybe. Yeah. So we do show visuals on that show, but I do think, I mean, like when you look at Corbett or Molyneux or the other podcasts, they tend to put it in their own stream. NPR does, of course, different streams. I think we should try it in the same stream, like just label it very clearly, unless we get feedback from the listeners after this show that says, you know, no, screw it, I don't want that garbage in my podcatcher.
Yeah, I am totally open to suggestions there. If the listeners said, no, we just want the regular show. We don't want the bullshit stuff you guys do on the weekend. But we take a lot of calls from the listeners. So I guess that's interesting. I don't know. I do have a bad habit with the listeners and the callers of leaving them on too long. Look, if someone's got something to say, I'll let them say it. But typically, they might hang around for like, you know, 5-10 minutes. That's a little too long.
Okay, thank you for your call.
That's a little too long. What do you think, Joe?
No, I mean, I think our call, we've been handling the calls pretty well. I think all the callers have brought interesting contributions to the show. So, you know, and the more the merrier, of course.
Yeah, I agree.
We have one sort of repeat caller who just says
the N-word.
The N-word.
Yeah,
that's right.
N-person.
He says it like that.
N-person.
Yeah. It's actually Larry King.
Yeah, N-person. Larry King calls into the show constantly.
N-person.
He pranks us.
He gets wasted on Saturday mornings just to prank us.
Mm-hmm.
N-person.
Well, it's going to take me a week or two to write the RSS feed if I want a different one. We'll definitely wait for some listener feedback. Maybe we'll include that show in the regular stream. I don't know. And this weekend, I'm actually going to be in Pittsburgh. So if we do a Saturday show, I'm going to have to call into the show for you, Joe, because you might have to host it. Because I will be on the road. What do you think about them beans, motherfucker?
What are you, gay?
I don't know.
Do Mike can just sit behind me and talk on a phone. It'd be great.
Yeah. He can sit. You can sit on his lap.
Yes.
Yeah.
I would I would call in from my hotel room. I would just, Joe would have to host it on the YouTube channel, and I would call into you, and we would do it like that.
That sounds fun.
I don't know.
We'll give it a shot.
We'll see what happens. Yeah. I'm open to it. We'll see what happens. It might not happen at all. I might be too hungover, or I might not have a good internet connection. We will play it by ear. How about that, guys?
You do realize you could just make it up here. It's only like 20 miles away.
No, it's too far. It's too far. And so I can't do that. I don't know where I'll be, but we'll definitely hook up and we'll work it out in the next few days to see what exactly we can do for the Saturday show. Let's transition into some stuff. Come on, guys.
Stop.
Hey,
John Boy.
I'm going to lose my mind today.
I am going to lose my mind today.
Who doesn't love stuff, though?
Boy, you know, just when Bill O'Reilly was not going to be relevant anymore, he comes screaming back into the news. Well, over these past few weeks with new allegations of sexual impropriety and assault and almost blackmailing women into sexual favors for himself. And now Fox News has fired Bill O'Reilly.
Wah, wah.
Bull. Fucking thing sucks.
That's right.
He just got back from vacation, though.
He did. He went on vacation. And how dare they fire him? Well, he was on vacation. That's very rude of Fox News. But, yeah, it's happened. Bill O'Reilly forced out at Fox News. Bill O'Reilly has been forced out of his position as a primetime host at Fox News. The company said on Wednesday after the disclosure of settlements involving sexual harassment allegations against him. His abrupt and embarrassing ouster ends his two-decade reign as one of the most popular and influential commentators on television. So we're gonna miss Bill. Aren't we? I think we might.
I don't know. He'll live on forever on our soundboard and in our hearts.
He certainly will. This is for you, Bill. We will remember you forever. And you know, when you go to your home and you probably will retire, you can blackmail your wife for sex. And we'll always remember. Maybe you can take your wife basically to the shower.
Basically be in the shower, and then I would come in and I'd join you.
Yeah, Bill, do you remember when you said this, Bill, that you had your hands and you put it around front?
So I got my hands in it, and I put it around front.
We will remember you, Bill. And maybe, do you remember that time, Bill, when you said you had your back to me?
And you'd have your back to me.
Ah, yeah. Yeah. You remember this time, Bill, when you said you'd massage my boob?
I would start to massage your boob.
Thank you, Bill. Ah, Bill.
But you can do that all the time now. Yeah. You won't get fired anymore.
You can go home and massage your boob all you want.
Massage your boob.
Oh, Bill. You remember that time that you were in the shower with Glenn Beck and you gave him a back rub and you said it would help with all the tension that he was feeling?
You know, you feel the tension drain out of you.
Yeah. It was just you and Glenn Beck in the shower just being dudes. Doing what bros do.
Nothing gay about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was awesome. And then you took Greta Van Susteren down to the shower, basically?
You'd basically be in the shower and then I would come in and I'd join you.
Oh, Bill, we'll remember you. Yeah, we will.
Because
Bill.
Didn't Roger Ailes get let go because he was basically doing the same thing, basically?
Yes, it was a culture of sex and corruption. And not too long ago, Sumner Redstone of CBS was trying to have threesomes. Well, we theorized with Bob Barker.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a culture of sex, money, and power with all these news organizations. And all these media companies. And you can see as the internet is gobbling up more and more of their share of viewers, they're fighting back. They're fighting back by trying to take down internet stars and alternative media. But now Bill O'Reilly's been taken down. And man, I'm going to miss you.
A freshman girl.
That's right.
Yeah, no.
Freshman girl.
So much gold there. But you know, his hits, his classics are really, it's like you know, kind of the Rolling Stones. Like, nobody really talks about their new stuff.
Exactly.
It's really the Do It Lives, you know.
Yeah.
The falafel.
I can't
it's
do
all
it.
The old stuff.
It's the I can't do it, and there's no words.
Yeah, I can't read it. There's no words on it. There's no words there.
It doesn't get any better than that.
See, it's fun, though, because it almost seems like there's a concerted effort to take out conservative influencers such as Milo Yiannopoulos, Alex Jones. Who else? We got Bill O'Reilly.
And
who are they going to come for next?
So
who else is in there?
Just to talk about Alex Jones real quick. I don't have any clips, but this is the music we play when we talk about Alex Jones, is that there's been some, since we're talking about news commentators and the world of pundits, Alex Jones has had some interesting events in his personal life. As we suspected a few years ago, Alex Jones is in the middle of a divorce, and he's in the middle of a custody battle for his children. And I don't really like to make light of it. I don't care if Alex Jones gets divorced or what his personal life really is. It's that when he gets on air, he still portrays himself as a family man. And he almost as though he's still married. I mean, Jeff, am I wrong about that? He kind of comes across that way.
He referred to, even though I think his wife filed for divorce in the fall of 2015, he still pretended to have a wife for at least a solid 6 to 8 months.
Yeah.
I guess they were still technically married. So,
yeah, I guess he wasn't technically lying. But if you listen to his show, it certainly seemed like he was a family man. He was going home to his wife and everything was normal. We knew all was not right in the land of Alex Jones. People have been digging up on stuff on him, regardless of what's going on. I really don't care. I think he's entertaining. He covers some good stories. He has some interesting opinions. But now, due to his custody battle with his kids, Alex Jones's lawyer has said that his personality and his attitude on his radio and TV show is a performance art. It's a performance piece. He's really not that guy you see on TV. He is playing a character. And so that shouldn't be used against him in his custody battle.
Not good. That is not good, because you already have Paul Joseph Watson and other people like Max Kaiser saying in their shows and on, you know, in interviews and on Alex's show, even, is that, you know, what you see is what you get. This is the real guy. This is who Alex is. So it's,
I like to, I mean,
if he tries to make this argument, there is so much footage that would doom him in a court.
Son of a bitch.
Sorry, dude. I just
fucker.
I have a shit memory.
He just did that the other week.
Yeah. Yeah.
I gotta have a custody hearing.
Yeah,
there's, I have to handle.
He's got almost 20 years of nonsense that could be used against him.
I know what I'm talking about.
And to say this is a performance piece, people are like, this is a character that he's portraying, and that this is not really who he is. That's a big deal. He can't explode. He gets very angry. And I think that is who he is to a certain degree. Now, for our YouTube clips, I put at the end of every YouTube video we put up that what we do could be considered performance art. It is a protection mechanism that I can point to and use. I think, Joe, who you are on the show is pretty much who you are in real life, correct?
Boring. And
yes, you're very boring.
Slavishly addicted to the news.
That's right. Yay! Jeff, I know, or Clown Baby, in real life, you're pretty much who you are in real life as you are on the show.
Worse.
Yes, worse. For myself, I probably am I'm a lot more silly on the show. I come across probably a lot more sarcastic. I can be a little bit more mean. It's not to say I'm not who I am on the show. This is just one aspect of me. I mean, I try to be fun. I don't crack this many jokes. I don't talk about piss porn in real life so yeah. much. You know, I don't go up to people in the street. Hey, man, you check out that German fuck porn? Check it out, dude. No,
it's VP of finance. You ever hear the Prune Brothers?
You ever hear the Prune Brothers do? Holy shit. That girl loves prune juice. She can't take a shit without it. She had to call the Prune Brothers. These are all aspects of our personality. It's not to say this is not who we are, but there's elements of it. So I think when Alex Jones says that's a performance piece, it's definitely just a defense tactic. He is that person. He does explode. I don't know if he explodes at home like that. I hope not. I hope he doesn't explode on his kids and walk in the house like when they...
You got that, you goddamn son of a bitch?
Yeah, get your grades up, motherfucker.
You fucking goddamn fucker.
Yeah, did you get a detention?
You piece of shit.
Talking to 9-year-old kids like that?
Yeah.
You son of a bitch.
Hey, who do kids? You love more, kids?
You know what I like to do, kids?
I like to eat.
Yeah. You piece of shit.
I was eating jalapenos during the break.
Yeah.
I actually think Alex, he wears his heart on his sleeve. I really think he's one of those guys. He does believe a lot of this stuff, and he's maybe duped or compromised or beholden to finances like everybody else, and knows that alimony and all these other things are on the line. So he's towing his, towing the line on some of his comments and, the Pizzagate thing recently. He says he's making some adjustments for sure.
He is, but think about it. Was Howard Stern in a different position when he got divorced? He had a very controversial radio show, said a lot of controversial things on the air, and he got divorced. And I think any number of the things that he said or did on the air could have been used against him in court. Now, I don't know what exactly was said, but he still sees his kids. He interacts with them. He talks about them. So I don't think it was that bad. So why is it any different than for Alex Jones, other than he's been mentioned in presidential debates? And
I hear a sound.
Yeah, I understand, Jeff. I get it. There's sounds always going on, Jeff. Here's another sound. And here's a sound.
I think Mike's getting messages on OKCupid.
No, I'm not. It's just not happening. I'm off OKCupid. It's not happening anymore.
He had to. Remember, he's getting too many. They were just all over him.
Yeah. Getting too many women were contacting me.
Too many freshman girls.
Too many freshman girls were.
The freshman girl.
were contacting me.
So, Daddy Warbucks over here.
I actually wish Alex Jones the best. I don't really care about his personal life so much. I just want him to get on the air and continue to scream so I have good things to talk about and play from him.
Because there's black people.
I just heard from our good friend, our best friend, Ryan Dawson, that he is possibly available to come on the air and talk with us a little bit.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
That was back when we actually used to play Holy Toledo when people called in. We talked to Ryan Dawson, maybe one of our most fun guests we've ever had.
Sweet Jesus!
Very knowledgeable.
What did you say, Clown Baby?
I'd like to have him on a panel of guests like Greg Carlwood. Be interesting.
Yeah, it would be. For anybody who doesn't know, Ryan Dawson, he is a historian from the College of William and Mary, with 19 years of political activism in a variety of mediums, ranging from blogging, television, newspaper, print, all that stuff. He's all over the place. Ryan Dawson has appeared on multiple TV shows, such as Russia Today, Press TV, CNN, Headline News, MSNBC, The Daily Show with Jon Stewart, Al Jazeera. He has a site called AntiNeoconReport.com. That's ANCReport.com. He's got a YouTube channel. He's got a Twitter. Check him out. He's doing like daily videos, like short little anti-neocon clips. Very informative. He's a very well-spoken guy and kind of handsome, too. Yeah.
Uh-oh. We got a little bromance going.
I don't know about a bromance, but definitely a very interesting person. And he might even be smarter than you, Joe.
He's definitely smarter than me.
Okay, good.
Most people are.
Yeah, that's true. I think Clown Baby might be the smartest one on this podcast, but it just doesn't really show. But I know that for a fact that he is.
Yeah. He's just very quiet.
He's very quiet. Okay. Yeah. Let's try to add Mr. Dawson to the group call. I think we can hear you now, Ryan.
Good.
Oh, perfect.
I heard you guys the whole time.
Okay. Well, thank you, Ryan, for joining us. So my name is Mike. You're on with Joe and my my brother, Clown Baby. Thank you very much for taking the time out of your busy day to talk and bullshit with us.
Oh, no problem.
I the first thing I wanted to ask you is, how long have you lived in Japan?
Like 8 years or something, 8 or 9.
Do you hang
not consecutively though?
Do you hang out and drink with James Corbett?
Nah, he lives pretty far away from me still. I have hung out with him. He doesn't drink though.
I'm just asking if you guys party. I mean, when the YouTube cameras go down, I just wonder if you guys like do lines of cocaine and like get hookers.
No, we just talk politics.
Living off that sweet YouTube money.
I don't get any YouTube money. They censor everything.
Yeah, I kind of wonder how that's going to affect other people who want to put out interesting news reports or different opinions and hoping to make a living off it. That's just not, it doesn't look like YouTube's going to allow that to happen.
You can't, if you're doing politics, especially if you talk about Israel, you can forget about it. I know some other large YouTubers like Sargon of Akkad, a bunch of others, they've gone to some other site called VidMe. Mm-hmm. And the problem with that is it makes it time limits for 15 minutes. So if you're like me and you do these long woodsheds and stuff, it's not going to work. But that's where people are jumping ship, because that site lets people have like a tip jar and stuff. I have to look at it more, but a lot of people are leaving YouTube because they don't allow any monetization of anything unless it's pro-Zionist or it's just entertainment.
Yeah, if you do video game stuff, you're good. If you do movie reviews, you're pretty good. If you partner it up, but things
makeup.
Like you do, you're pretty controversial.
How do you apply
right?
makeup?
But yeah, how to apply makeup? Yeah, we should turn our YouTube channel into that. That'd be great.
Oh,
Ryan, have you done that?
Bag.
Yeah, have you done that yet? Have you just try one and see if you get monetized?
Well, no, I actually did test it. Like I filmed an aquarium and it was some, just to see, right? It was just some fish and they were asleep and not moving. I'd never seen fish just sit still. So I just wrote, it was as neutral as possible. I even wrote, I like the color blue. And they said, this is political and we cannot monetize it. So
what?
Wow.
I think what they do, and I screenshot that too, they just automatically have me flagged. So whatever I put up, they just say it's too political and they can't monetize it. And I ask them to review it and it sits there for like 2 weeks. And most of the time they still won't reverse the decision. And if they do, it's like, I'm already done like 19 videos since that. And so no one's going to see it.
Mm-hmm. And so we know Eric Schmidt was involved with the Hillary campaign. How much does this have to do with it? What is the motivation here? Google, CIA, NQTEL, all this stuff is put together in one big package most people don't know about. What do you think about all this? Can you unravel it all?
I think it happened,
or is that
long
so
Schmidt. They, my entire YouTube channel was erased in December 2008. Like thousands.
I wondered where you were. I told Mike this morning. I said he's not making videos anymore.
It used to be Ryan T. Neocons, right? And then it was gone. They erased everything, and that, and I found out that was the exact day that YouTube partnered with the ADL, and I was the first one to go.
Yeah, you do rock some boats.
Yeah.
You do rock a
well,
few
the ADL
boats.
Is not really an anti-defamation league. It's just a Israel first. That's all it does. Is everything it does is an anti-Semitic witch hunt, right? I put out War by Deception and my entire channel got erased. So the War by Deception that's on YouTube now is like the watered down version, because I knew how far I could go and what I couldn't say, right? But I didn't want to say nothing. It doesn't matter if I have the video I want and no one can see it. So I had to take some stuff out of it to get what's up there. And that they removed that video so many times and they hit it with copyright violations, even though it was under fair use, but I finally got a version up there. But the original one I'd put it on Google Video. If you remember that back in the day,
yes,
they removed it. I put it on YouTube and they erased my whole channel. Didn't even give me a reason. Just took me off.
Well, you're doing some interesting stuff now, and I wonder if you're going to get hate from your newest video, Trump's Zionist Ball and Chain, where you go pretty in-depth. You have a teaser video right now on your YouTube channel, and it looks like you'll be releasing a full-length kind of video on your antineoconreport.com, correct?
Right, I am. It's that Trump sign is ball and chain, or God is not a real estate agent, but the devil is. You guys might remember me talking about the Kushners a long time ago. Like, I used to go on Mike Rivera's show, and I was explaining the Governor McGreevy scandal and Charles Kushner and the mafia and things like that. I've talked to Doug Valentine about it too. And so I've already done a lot of that work in the past, looking into those goobers. And so I felt like, well, now people might listen to it, because before it just sounded nerdy and, real estate, blah, you know. So
it's pretty boring. Yeah, it sounds really boring.
It is boring at first, but when you realize the honey traps and blackmail and stuff, it's screwed up, man. I mean, Charles Kushner's father went to jail for a lot of reasons, but one of them was setting a honey trap on his own sister. I mean, that's
wow
movie stuff, but that really happened. He paid a hooker $10,000 to sleep with her husband and had a secret camera in the hotel room.
Nice.
Wow. For what purpose?
To blackmail them, because his brother and sister and himself were fighting with each other. They're all real estate moguls. And this guy had the governor in his back pocket. And if you know anything about New Jersey, it's a screwed up state. It was the only state in the union that allowed holding companies, which is basically legalized cartels. It's called New Jerusalem for a reason. And most of the real estate is made by this group called the Holocaust Builders, which did legitimate work. Like, after the World War came in, these families are like clans, and they pass everything from father to son or daughter, kids, grandparents, everything, all involved into business. And the business is basically bribing the government into allowing them to contract different properties. That's how real estate is. I mean,
it almost sounds like this is actually about what, I guess, espionage and control and manipulation and government in general is how do we find a way to compromise somebody to get what we want instead of actually mm-hmm. having good ideas or anything?
Well, the governor of New Jersey took a trip to Israel where he met his boyfriend to be, and Charles Kushner sponsored this guy. His name is Golan Zippel. This Israeli guy's work visa was sponsored by Charles Kushner, who's one that set them up. And he had all that dirt on them and used that against Governor McGreevy. Back then, it was like 2002, all they did was the governor came out and said, I'm a gay American, whatever. And everyone goes, clap, clap, clap. Oh, wow, you're so brave for coming out and admitting you're homosexual. And forgetting the fact that he gave an Israeli national the head job of Homeland Security in his state. He was overseeing New Jersey's nuclear facilities. I mean, but that all that half of it got ignored, and the connection to Kushner got ignored. The New York papers and Jersey papers wrote about it. There are stories in New York Magazine and stuff, but it wasn't the kind of national news that it should have been. The fucking governor is being blackmailed, sexually blackmailed, and giving away jobs. He gave Kushner a job at the Port Authority. And this stuff ties back into 9/11. So it's too much to explain.
It sounds like it's a goddamn deep rabbit hole.
Yeah, but it's very interesting. But you make it sound, though, like the media doesn't give you all the information to a story. That's very troubling.
Well, they don't.
I'd like to
imagine that.
I'd like to change gears real quick and ask Ryan about some things going on in the world. You live in Japan, Ryan, and I'm wondering if you know or can speculate, how does Japan fit in with this Trump China friendship that's going on in regards to North Korea?
Well, the only thing Japan and China have in common is they don't like North Korea. That's about it. They can't stand each other. But China's problem is that, okay, if something happens in North Korea, if you put stronger sanctions on, which is very likely, the war is not very likely, but sanctions for sure, Koreans are going to pour into China as refugees. And the Chinese don't like refugees from North Korea any more than anyone else likes refugees from some other third world country. They don't want to put up with it. And so they put all their troops down on the border, like 150,000 Chinese troops are on the North Korean border now. And
that's basically refugee control. They're not going to invade North Korea, but that's not how North Korea sees it. It's scary. If any country had 150,000 Chinese troops in the border, how would they react? You know, and that's a huge army.
Absolutely. We don't even have it's no joke. That's a show of force. They obviously don't want refugees flooding over and causing a lot of trouble in China. I don't know if there is a conflict. I know you say it's not likely that there's a conflict between North Korea and U.S., but if there is one, does Japan or can Japan get involved in any way? I know they don't technically have a military, but they're supposed to stand up on it.
Japan basically does what the U.S. wants through bribery, through soft power politics. As long as they get to have their protectionist regulations on import and export for agriculture and things like that, like they killed TPP, for example, then they will follow the U.S. militarily because they're not, I mean, they don't really benefit. They don't really, They don't really have any consequences for North Koreans starving to death. To them, keeping the Koreas divided is good for Japan because if they otherwise, you know, South Korea is a competitor, but North Korea isn't. And it causes it hurts Japan, but it hurts South Korea a lot more. They have to spend a lot more money on defense and other useless toys than Japan does. And they're not getting the refugees, is flooding China with refugees. So if they can hurt China, that's also good. This is not what the Japanese public thinks. I'm just saying what their government's doing. They're like, well, if China's going to have to deal with refugees, South Korea is going to have to spend a lot of money. We'll do what the U.S. wants because it's in Japanese interest too. Takes out competitors. They're ruthless like that.
It seems like this seems like a prime opportunity for the world to come together and to use the North Korean people as slave labor to build ultra cheap products.
Mm-hmm. No, the North Koreans already being used for slave labor.
Yes, they are in the EU and everywhere else. But, you know, do something above board here. But I don't know. But seem like they're being exploited enough.
Trump is pushing to get China to put sanctions on oil going to North Korea. And that's the big one. They're already starving to death. Only the capital city has electricity and only part time. I mean, this place is so backwards and they're suffering. There are North Korean refugees that have come to South Korea through China who are talking about, you know, seeing a plastic bottle for the first time in their life.
Jesus.
It is so bad there. People have no idea. And well, a lot of people want to kind of side with North Korea just because it's not America and America goes and kills people all over the world. So they're the bad guys and North Korea is hated by them. So they must be the good guys, but that's not the case.
Like
they're
Cuba. Both
bad. Yeah. Well, Cuba sucks too. I mean, governments are bad anywhere. It's not like, let's Russia and China are great because they oppose America. No, not at all. Things could be a lot worse if someone else is a superpower. Trust me. I don't like what the U.S. does. You guys know that. But, man, it could get a lot worse. And North Korea is the worst. It is horrible. I have a friend who was in prison there for 8 months. He was helping. He's a Japanese guy. He was helping refugees get across the border into China and then ultimately getting them down to South Korea, which is where they want to be because they speak Korean, you know, can actually do something down there. And got caught, was put in a labor camp. And there's like 9-year-olds in those prisons with scabs all over their shoulders where they're carrying rice. They don't have enough farm equipment, like machinery, to till the land and stuff. They're using cows. That's why they're not allowed to have beef unless, it's extraordinarily expensive because a cow can do more work than like 10 people. So
yeah,
it's so bad. People don't know. They need to lift agricultural sanctions on Korea because it's collective punishment. And if you ask me a solution, I'd go back to the 6-member talks, which South Korea, China and Russia and North Korea all agreed on. It was Japan and the U.S. that said no, but what they were going to do is use the carrot instead of the stick, where they would dismantle their nuclear program in steps and get rewarded for each step. And I think that would have worked because they are desperate. They have no other card to play other than, you know, mutual annihilation, because they don't really have trade. They don't really have money. They have nothing left but to threaten us. So
it's fucking sad as hell, and especially when people want to get involved in Syria because of a humanitarian crisis. Well, there's a humanitarian crisis going on in North Korea, so why not get involved there too? So
Yemen and many places, there are a real humanitarian crisis in Yemen. A lot of people starving. And, you know, in my opinion, that chemical stunt in Syria was just cover for them having chlorine gas. Like, I don't see the motive for Assad to attack some place with chemical weapons and only use one round. Like, we're just going to kill 70 people.
So in your opinion,
any difference battlefield wise,
in your opinion, Assad did not do it. And it was the rebels that got bombed, or how do you think that happened? The most recent attack.
Some people thought maybe it's a false flag, like the rebels just gassed some kids and blamed it on Assad. But I think it was a hurry-up operation. I think Assad really did bomb the warehouse that they said they did, and Colonel Wilkerson is backing me up on this. And Robert Perry did some research into it, too. They did tip off the Americans and the Russians that they were going to bomb this warehouse. So they did bomb that warehouse, and apparently whatever was being stored in there, it seems like chlorine. Which chlorine gas will kill you also, not sarin, that got released in the wind, and people really did die from exposure to it.
But makes sense.
Because the rebels were illegally storing chemicals to make chemical gas with, or chemical weapons. A couple weeks later, which was only a few, not even a couple weeks, in Mosul, the terrorists used chlorine gas against soldiers in Iraq. So the terrorists had this weapon. Yeah, it's the second. It's not. It's more than the second time, even, but in recent history. And then, of course, they were using illegal weapons back in 2013 as well. And you can see a video I did back in 2012 of these terrorists showing off the gases they had and murdering little rabbits with them. You can see the rabbits.
I remember that video.
And I was saying, so if they come out and say there's a chemical attack and Assad's crossed this convenient red line, just know that here there are these, you know, moderate head choppers showing off the gas they got through Turkey.
The moderate head choppers.
Yeah, so there are no moderate rebels. What are they talking about?
No, I know. And even a Democrat, Tulsi Gabbard, is breaking ranks. And Howard Dean and other Democrats are saying, we got to get rid of this Tulsi Gabbard. Because she, God forbid, went to Syria and looked at what was happening on the ground and then came back.
She was
back.
A soldier, too. And it's something
she's,
else.
She's the a veteran. Veteran.
Yeah, and Richard Black, state senator from Virginia, is also a veteran, and he's been to Syria. He's met with Assad. I talked to him for about 2 hours, and he was saying how he knows it all, man. They were getting artillery pieces through Croatia, and all. Like, he knew exactly where all these weapons were coming from, all these mercenaries. They know. It's just the media was so uniform. They're like, oh, Assad did it. There was no investigation, no time for an investigation. They're like, he did it. Let's bomb him. And the most telling thing is all these people on the mass media who had been basically calling Trump Hitler, like really making comparisons. Well, Hitler did this and Trump did this. And he's a sexist, racist, homophobic, bigot, every, you know, ism there is. They're ismaholics. And they dumped that all on Trump. After he bombed Syria, they're all like, you know, Trump's become presidential. And he's really he completely 180'd. They're so Zionist. Like, okay, why don't go get your shekels now? Because they just do everything the Israelis tell them. So they slammed him until he bombed Syria. Now they love him.
Yeah, the news media has backed off, and the Russia connection hasn't really been talked about too much lately. It's all the narrative has changed. Oh my God, it's so transparent.
And his daughter had a lot to do with that. His daughter was egging him on the beautiful babies and stuff. Like, don't care about Palestinian babies or babies from Yemen or any of the other Syrian babies or the 200 civilians he murdered in Iraq just the beginning of the month.
Madeleine Albright's babies.
There was an attack near Aleppo about a day. I think it was a day ago where it's over 117 children died. It was the bus attack.
Yeah, I spoke about that on Press TV. At the time, it was only 40. We knew the number was going to climb. It was like right after it happened. And it was mostly children. But, you know, children have a target on their back now because the moderate head choppers learned, oh, look, if we gas some children and blame Assad, America will go and bomb them. So at first they tried to blame the bus bombing, too. And then al-Sham took credit for it. They want that street cred because they killed some Shia or whatever. That's something else, too. The sectarian violence, like, they're all Muslim, you know, mostly Shia and Sunni. And the Sunnis want to kill the Shia. And it's like, what? There's no real big theological divide. It's just tribalism. It's pathetic. They've killed basically almost all the Christians.
Speaking of kind of a tribalism here, to change gears a little bit more, China is hellbent on going to the moon. And the U.S. is kind of stalled a little bit. So in a space race competition, or our tribe versus their tribe, do you actually think the U.S. is going to let China get any sort of operational capability in space, or let alone let them get to the moon?
I wouldn't worry about it unless they get Japan to build it for them. China can't even build a train without it flying off the rails. So I'm not worried about going to the moon.
Okay. I mean, I just want, they have, there's a bunch of news articles you hear out. China is like, yeah, we're going to go to the moon by like 2020. They have pretty big aspirations.
If they get someone else to build all the stuff.
Okay.
But if it's made in China, it's not going to work.
Fair enough. I mean, it might blow up on the way up there.
China has boats that sink. I mean, they have food with lead in it and stuff. I mean, they're not doing jack.
Look, I just,
they tried to build a bullet train. Japan's had one since the 80s or something. France built one. China's train flew off the rails and killed like 1,000 people. It literally just bulleted right off and killed everybody. That was in the 2008 or something. And they want to go to the moon?
Well, they want to. I want to go to the moon, yeah. But I don't have the capability, so...
I hope they're successful, but I just don't have a lot of faith in their ingenuity.
So I have just another question that's a little bit far out. But a few months ago, before the actual inauguration, there was a lot of news articles coming out about Antarctica, how John Kerry visited Antarctica and some other dignitaries were visiting Antarctica. And mm-hmm. then there are rumors about, you know, a lot of conspiracies going on about what was going on in Antarctica. I was wondering if you had any sort of insight or speculation about what's going on there.
Oh, they probably found minerals up there.
Okay.
A lot of countries have been fighting over that territory. It's also now, you know, every spot on the globe, even if, you know, places where no one live are important when we're putting up satellites and things like that. Yeah. But I would get, my guess would be minerals, but I don't really know.
Okay. It's like Somalia's in the same boat. Well, that's why we're back in there.
Well, Somalia is important because it's a choking point for that place between Basnana and Aden of Yemen. It's a place where all the ships have to pass through. It's just one of the 8 choking points for trade.
I thought it was oil.
Not really. I mean, it's more about shipping lanes. That's why you have all the Somali pirates and things. It's the shipping lanes there because Aden on the other side is the same thing.
Okay. And so, and are you trying to, how much longer do you have to spare?
Oh, I'm good. It's morning here.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So, what about, okay. So we talked a little bit at the beginning about blackmail and how that's sort of the utility as to how to leverage your politicians to get what you want. And it doesn't matter. Everybody's kind of in bed with each other, lobbyists, corporations, CEOs.
In bed with each other is good. Good phrase.
Very much so. Oh, in bed with each other's children and as well. I wanted to hear what's good. Yeah, Haster, one of the biggest pedophiles for a long Speaker of the House. Oh my God, is there a elite pedophile ring? That could not be true. That's a conspiracy theory. Do you have opinions on Pizzagate that you can share? Or pedophilia?
Yeah, you know, well, okay, I did a video about this. There's pedophilia on every level of government. And not just pedophilia, just regular sexual blackmail, where it's just hookers or someone's gay and they're in the closet or whatever, like Hillary. That's very pervasive in everything from the National Park Service to, you know, the presidency. It can be senators, congressmen, people are, it's an easy thing to catch people on, and it's something that'll actually destroy you, which is something else. Because, like, if you support sanctions that murder 800,000 children, if you support wars, that's, you can still get elected. But if you sleep with someone that's not your wife or whatever, then you're in trouble.
Yes, you've got your principles
in the United States.
It's lined up. That is perfect. It's morally perfect right there.
But as
kill
far
a million
as
people, it, sleep with the wrong person.
Oh, yeah. For real. Like, oh, you killed somebody. No big deal. You're gay? Oh, my God. So, whatever.
What are you gay?
Yeah.
You're gay.
That's Alex Jones.
What are you gay?
Jonestown's getting sued, you know. But, okay, so Pizzagate, that's something he's in trouble for, too. I think that one actually helped cover this stuff up, because what they'll do is they throw out a false story that'll get debunked so that people go, oh, all that stuff's not true. Well, pedophilia is true. Sexual blackmail definitely is true. You get the Vitter case, Jevrin Palfrey, et cetera, Hastert, and so on. But Pizzagate thing, when they're saying the Podesta brothers were in Spain and kidnapped some girl or whatever, and the police sketch was two sketches of one guy, not two guys who were brothers, and it's on the page. It's really easy to debunk. So I saw so much attention suddenly, all on the same subject and all about like code words and stuff. And anytime you see something gather that much attention that quickly, then you know it's not true. Because
a hot dog party. Yep.
And he's going to get in trouble because there were weirdos going into this Comet Pizza thing looking for underground tunnels with pedophiles or something. And of course, there's nothing there.
I'll be honest. We like talking about it. We knew there was... if you do any sort of conspiracy research, you know that the ruling elite love pedophiles.
Oh, pedophiles. That's, it's totally believable.
Yeah.
Like, because that does happen. But this specific case, I looked at it and I go, there's nothing there. It did seem like they were involved in trafficking narcotics, though. And I think that's what a lot of the code words were. It made more sense if you replaced it with drugs instead of little people. Plus, if you're on a pedophile ring, the rings they have where they go down to the Caribbean and stuff and rape kids and things, it's not like a delivery service where they go and bring a kid to your house or something. They're not doing that. And they're always going to use layers and plausible deniability. So they're not that stupid. The real cases of pedophilia they have, where they get like foster houses and stuff, and they are raping children, and they do, they have their townhouses all around DC and they bring in their Turkish prostitutes and stuff. Like, that's the majority of it is just women, not kids. Which I guess is a little bit happy news that they're not all pedophiles. But
I guess so, Brian. I don't know.
So what did you think of some of the Podesta emails where you have like, so-and-so is going to bring these three kids over to the heated pool so you'll have entertainment?
Yeah, I saw that. That
all
was,
these guys.
I looked up your last name and it was the mom, and that really was her kids. Like,
okay. What about the hot dog stand in Hawaii? I'm curious about that.
Yeah.
And the handkerchief. The pizza related map on the handkerchief and all that.
Oh yeah. I think there was drugs. That sounded like dick pills.
All right. I'll go with that.
I'll tell you. Okay. Pimp so good.
Every theory is just about
because they were saying like, oh, we only have this stuff left over from Christmas, even though it was in March.
Okay.
And stuff. And it's like, you didn't just have a kid hang around the house for 3 months, like, it's pills or something, like, more likely.
Okay.
But so if Alex, you were to really look deep in any of these people, you can find the cases. Just write any government institution plus pedophile or sex or rape or something, and there it is. It's reported all the time. It's just not on TV.
Well, we had this with the Pentagon really where all these employees were looking up child porn. And then there was this massive investigation. Even Anderson Pooper was covering the damn thing. And then it just disappeared from the headlines. No one gets prosecuted. No one gets in trouble. It's the same thing that just came out with the UN soldiers in Haiti. They're paying 75 cents to bang little kids. And nobody got prosecuted for this. They just kick them out of the country. And that's that.
Well, remember Obama's entire Secret Service was given prostitutes in Colombia. Do you remember that story?
Yep.
Yes. Oh, like, yeah. The day he disappeared. Clinton did that as well. Not Sierra Leone, I think. And offered hookers to her entire personal security staff. I know because my relative worked for her. He was a bodyguard. He didn't accept it.
You told us about the... was the term for that move?
Oh, the her red beard stuff. Her
that, and then there was another term. Mike, do you remember?
I don't.
The 6.9.
6.9.
Yeah, 6.9. Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, she'd wear two pair of pantyhose, so it'd be extra stank.
Joe loves that.
Sounds great.
And look, my uncle is like super hardcore Catholic, like Amway level, like really like Leave It to Beaver type morals. Just, oh, you can't do that. And he wouldn't even know what that was unless it was true.
I'm just chilling in Cedar Rapids.
Mm-hmm.
You just chill, Hillary.
Chilling in Cedar Rapids.
She's so disgusting. You don't want to know the stuff that woman was into. I'm so glad she's not in power.
Yeah, what do you think? Okay, so let's do some speculation. What do you think would be happening with everything going on, right? Do you think business as usual would go along until they could set up the plan that they want to implement, like some Illuminati New World Order thing happening? Like, if Hillary had gotten in as everybody had predicted and planned for, what would be happening now? How did Donald Trump actually win? All of this all seems very surreal still, just to say President Donald Trump. It's all very strange. Help us understand, please, the universe.
Well, he won because a lot of Hillary's dirt. I mean, the people who were voting for either one of them was just voting against the other one. You know what I'm saying? Like, they were either voting against Trump or they're voting against Hillary. Almost nobody actually liked them.
That's true.
I mean, they're like, well, which one's worse? It was a game like that. And Hillary was clearly worse because Trump, they didn't really know. They're like, well, he flip-flops all the time. He lies. He's bad on Iran. He's bad. But whatever he was bad on, you could look at Hillary and go, and she's worse or the same. She doesn't even try and hide it. So with Trump, they at least had a chance. This is foreign policy wise, except for Syria, they're pretty identical. But Hillary was talking about no fly zones and extremely anti-Russia. And that's just not.
She was saying she was going to treat any hacking as an act of war.
Yeah, and they blamed everything on the Russians when there were leaks. And it's something else. The Democrats, I was like, do you live in an echo chamber because they run it by each other or something? Because they're basically saying Russians hacked the election. And they're not talking about voting machines or anything. They're just saying that Hillary's dirt was leaked out to the public. Well, that's like a thief being mad that the dog barked when he was trying to rob a house and ruined it or something. It's like, well, her dirt is real and the public found out and you're mad about, you know, that people leaked that information. Why aren't you mad about what she did? You know,
like, the dog is Russian. It's a Russian dog.
Yeah.
It's what the Russian problem dog is. There you go.
What kind of dog is that?
Yeah.
Gosh, you guys are fast.
Yeah. Perfect.
And she did all that. I mean, she was giving private meetings. So she'd give the public one answer and her private donors her real answer, you know? And that was brought up during the debates, and she just started talking about the movie Lincoln or something. She had no answer for it. She's like, well, and started talking about some film. And if you really know about Abe Lincoln, that wouldn't be the brightest thing to do either. But
do you think, okay, so she's apparently a drinker. This is my favorite thing about her. She's apparently a drinker. I get the impression she's one of these like self-entitled drinkers who just feels like, bring me this, bring me that. She lived in the White House. She doesn't want these days to ever go away. This is how I picture Hillary Clinton's life. She reminds me, I lived in Atlanta. Buckhead Betty's was a term for women in Atlanta who would drive around with literally, they would have like glass martini glasses with like Cosmos in them while they drove around in their Lexus SUVs. This is Hillary doesn't have to drive, and she probably hasn't in decades. But this is how I picture her. I just feel like she just felt so entitled to it and that this was all so expected that was just the way it was going to all turn out.
She, you know, her husband had won twice, and they had ransacked Arkansas. She had gotten rapists' sentences reduced. They acted as cover during Iran-Contra and the whole MENA affair, if you know about
shipping
that.
Shipping cocaine all over.
Shipping cocaine and also building guns with no serial numbers and also training pilots. And all, I mean, they did a lot more than they were much deeper in Iran-Contra than just the narco stuff. But they gotten away with everything they'd ever done. And then Clinton, as president, did plenty of terrible things. And so she just expected to win. She had the namesake. She's against a reality TV host. Everybody on the media was calling him Hitler. I mean, CNN was completely in her back pocket. They were the Clinton News Network. So she thought she's going to win by a landslide. Politico and Huffington Post were saying 99.1% chance she wins and stuff. And they underestimated all the people who had never voted before. They did a lot of urban polling. They didn't do it in the rural areas, which were completely red everywhere. And a lot of people in the
but they're all stupid.
They wanted jobs.
We know, but they're all stupid. Nobody needs that. They're all racist and stupid, and they hate women. We know that.
That's what they say. Yeah, they're like, "Oh, you're a bunch of racist cousin fucking idiots or whatever." Like, actually, these are the people that actually work real jobs and aren't government parasites.
Yeah.
And Trump was speaking to them, and to a degree, he did. He did keep certain factories in the U.S. and stop them from going because he threatened to put a huge tax on them if they did. And he did keep some jobs in Ohio and Wisconsin and stuff. So that's one good thing he did. He did cancel TPP. He is going to go after NAFTA. So on the domestic side, he's got something out of it.
Okay,
on the foreign side, not so much.
Joe, hold on.
I know you got one more question. And I just want to say, do you think Hillary thought she would slip away because of her connections with Bush and the CIA thing? Did she underestimate what the CIA felt or what she felt the CIA owed her after what Bill and Hillary had done in Arkansas?
Yeah, and the CIA is completely on her side, as you can see. But so many people voted for Donald Trump that even with the cheating, they couldn't win that election. Because people really hate Hillary because she gets away with it, legally, but she didn't get away with it in the court of public opinion. Like, people know what a snake she is. And now because of YouTube and things like that, you can see her positions just flip flop. The kind of lies they used to be able to do and everyone or not enough people would remember. So everybody forget. You can just play a clip back to back. Here she is saying A and here she is saying negative A. She's just a liar, a waffler, and people understood that. I mean, they're like, "Do you like Clinton's personality?" Like, "Nah, she's like such a cunt."
Whoa,
like, "Do you like Trump's personality?" And they're like, "Well, yeah, he'd be fun to go out with, whatever." I don't know. But and then the kind of lowbrow identitarian stuff they tried to smear Trump with, calling him a racist, sexist, and things like that. Like, the grown-ups didn't fall for that. I mean, there are a lot of people who want a virtue signal that said that, "Oh, he said grab her by the vagina" or whatever. That's just, you know, Clinton, you supported every single war. You starved kids to death. Like, your crimes are a lot worse than offensive language.
I have one last question for you, Ryan. I really appreciate the time that you're giving us today. And
absolutely.
One last question here. Then we must talk about Bigfoot and how the U.S. Special Forces killed one. But you won't be here for that malarkey.
Well, I killed Bigfoot. Don't you know?
Oh, I didn't know that.
There was videos.
That's good.
Is that in your resume?
It's a spoof. Yeah, I said I killed Bigfoot in Mie, Japan. Found him, choked him out.
It's awesome.
That would be awesome, choking out Bigfoot. I don't think
it was hate sex. It was hate
Chuck
sex.
Chuck Norris could do it, maybe.
So my last question for you is there going to be a World War III? And if so, will the catalyst be the South China Sea?
I don't think there's going to be a World War III. I think that's fear porn from Jonestown. First world countries are not going to fight each other anymore. They've just got too much to lose. It's going to continue to be the way it is now with the first world picking on the third world. And the South China Sea, that is China picking on Malaysia and Vietnam and the Philippines. And they will talk a lot about it and nothing's going to change. They're going to piss and moan and argue about it. And China's going to build artificial islands and all of that. And eventually they're going to find a way to pay them off, because fighting each other is just not a realistic option.
You got that, you goddamn son of a bitch?
Yep. Yep. I think that's a good assessment. I thought when the election was going on, I thought, look, if Hillary gets into power, we're going to go to war with Russia or some kind of Cold War. And if Trump gets into power, then
absolutely. Clinton would have gone. We would have had a World War III for sure. She's a monster. She really hates Vladimir Putin. And because Putin threw all these Zionist oligarchs in jail, and he's dead now, so I don't mind talking about him, but not like I ever held my tongue before. But Boris Berezovsky and Rupert Murdoch were partners in crimes, and there would be no Clinton or Bush family without these guys. And Putin's thrown them in jail. They have a huge vendetta against him personally, not just Russia, against Vladimir Putin, because he saw what Yegor Gaidar and these guys did to the country, and he took Khodorkovsky and put him in prison. He exiled Berezovsky. He got him out of the media, and he turned Russia around. Because you remember during the Soviet Union, people waiting in line, it was like North Korea, people waiting in line to get one loaf of bread and things. That wasn't made up. That's how they live. Over a million Russians starved to death in the 90s.
It wasn't even that much better under Boris Yeltsin,
because it wasn't really under Yeltsin. Yeltsin was a drunk. Yegor Gaidar ran the country. He was a Jewish oligarch, and they just, they took all the mineral wealth, the nickel and aluminum and oil and all that. They are a resource rich country, and they squandered it all. They're oligarchs. They kept all the money. They bought it for pennies on the dollars. They had rigged auctions. There were no venture capitalist auctions. They had they appraised things for each other and then sold it for $1 more. There's an interview I did with Scott Horton about it. If you're interested in that kind of thing.
Scott Horton's great. Yeah.
It was a while back. Yeah, he is. Just Google Ryan Dawson, Scott Horton, Russia or something. It should come up. It was something, man.
Is that all linked back to the 1917 revolution in Russia?
What, the oligarchy?
Does it stem as far back? Because that was run by the Bolsheviks, were largely a Jewish movement, right? As far as I remember,
it's the same ethnicity, but they're not really directly related.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, unless someone knows something I don't.
All these bloodlines and blood feuds, it's hard to wrap your mind around sometimes.
It was a Cold War alliance. Like, the Israeli state didn't exist until after World War II. And one of the things they were doing was they decided to buddy up with the U.S. against the Soviet Union, because there were a lot of Jews in Russia that they wanted to migrate to Israel so they could have a demographic majority. And they were willing to exchange things for that. And so when Richard Perle was, the Prince of Darkness, he was working with Mark Rich, who Clinton gave a pardon to, who Denise Rich financed Hillary Clinton's Senate campaign. His lawyer was Louis Libby, which was Cheney's chief of staff. So
you'd think the news might cover that. It might be relevant.
No, I would not think the news would cover it, because it is relevant. Yeah.
You were an actual journalist.
Mark Rich and Richard Perle were working on this wheat deal where there's an embargo against Iran, there's an embargo against Russia. So what do these middlemen do? They run out and become the black marketeers, where they illegally help them sell oil and wheat and in exchange for Jewish immigrants. Like, that was going on for a long time. So that Israel is playing both sides of the field there during the Cold War and making a lot of money.
Same as the drug war. They outlaw the drugs and then they become the black market dealers.
The CIA is hardly black market anymore. I mean, they're putting heroin, or not heroin, but opium on FedEx planes coming out of Afghanistan.
Well, that's
and
nice.
The pilot doesn't ask what's back there. It's coming right into Newark, New Jersey, man. They're bringing heroin.
Paper goods.
Well, Ryan, thank you for your time. We really appreciate it. And
all right, man.
Awesome.
We're gonna let you go so you can live your day in beautiful Japan.
You guys are always funny. It's a good compliment, because I get too serious and But yeah, it's fun stuff.
Yeah, thanks for coming on, man.
We'll talk to you again soon.
All right. Take care, guys.
Bye, guys.
You too.
Bye. Bye, guys.
Okay. We're all still here.
Yeah, we're here.
We'll take your call.
Stroking.
Thanks, Bill.
Thank you. Thank you, Stroking Bill. You guys want to take a quick break? We'll come back and we'll do some paranormal stuff.
Sure. It sounds good.
You bet.
All right. Let me play. I don't even know if I have anything to really fucking play. I'll just play some elevator music. We'll be back ASAP. Do, 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 do. Do, 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 do.